Welcome to Civil Discourse, a public affairs program of Gila Mimbres Community Radio. I'm your host, Jamie Newton. My guests are the two Democrats who are candidates for their party's nomination for the District 5 seat on the Public Regulation Commission in the June 3rd primary election. We will conduct our discussion as a telephone conference call, so listeners, please be patient if you hear occasional static or odd sounds or variations in sound level. And I'd like to remind you, listeners, that early in-person voting is available at the office of County Clerk Robert Samaripa through May 31st, Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 6, and you may also obtain a sample ballot there. Voting on June 3rd, the election day, will be done at voting convenience centers in and near Silver City and at selected precinct polling places in outlying areas. Now I'd like to welcome my guests. Sandy R. Jones joins us from Williamsburg, which is right next to Truth or Consequences. Welcome, Sandy Jones.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to be on the show. We really look forward to it, and hope everyone's having a great day out there today, as we are. So thanks for letting us be here.
And Mary Lee Soles is in Las Cruces. Welcome, Mary Lee Soles.
Thank you, Amy. I'm very glad to be here.
At the outset, I'll invite the candidates to give 3 to 5 minute opening statements on their background, their motivation for seeking this public office, and goals they hope to accomplish should they be elected. We'll have a question and answer period with discussion, and then we'll conclude the program with a closing statement of about 3 minutes from each of the candidates. We're recording this edition of Civil Discourse on Wednesday, May 28th, 2014. Gila Mimbres Community Radio will broadcast this program periodically until the election on June 3rd, and it will be available by podcast at www.gmcr.org. Now, let me begin, Sandy Jones, with you. Will you please tell our listeners what you think is important about your background, your life history, why you're seeking this office, and what main goals you hope to accomplish if you're elected?
I sure will. Thanks. Again, thanks for giving me the opportunity to be with you here today. For those that don't know me, I'm a native New Mexican. I was born and raised in Corrales, New Mexico. My wife and I formed a road construction business of about 27 years. We moved our family to Williamsburg, New Mexico in 1992, where I raised two wonderful kids, Clay and Crystal. And retired my company about eight or nine years ago. I ran for the Public Regulation Commission, was elected. I chaired the commission from 2006 to 2011. From 2006 to 2011. While I was there at the commission, I think some of our big accomplishments were that when I was there, we wrote arguably the most aggressive renewable portfolio standards in the nation. Those are the standards that we see now where we require utilities to have 20% of their generation mix by year 2020. This next year is a benchmark where we're going to have 15% of our energy generated from renewable energy. So we wrote those standards, myself and along with Congressman Ben Ray Lujan, who served on the commission with me, and Jason Marks. Some of the things that I thought were very important while I was there, we were notified of predatory billing from phone companies on inmate phone calls. I docketed an investigation, and within weeks of just docketing the investigation, we were able to return over $90,000 to consumers here in New Mexico who have been violated by predatory billing. We're very proud of that. Right here in our district, we were the only commissioner in the history of the PRC who has conducted regular town hall meetings in our district, where we brought PRC staff and individuals to help people in the communities. We took care of hundreds of consumer complaints and consumer issues while we visited the communities. Right here in the Silver City area, we had it was Mexico Power Company, who was purchased by Public Service Company in New Mexico, and we fought to make sure that those rates under the new buyout became postage stamp rates. In other words, they were the same rates as PNM was enjoying in northern New Mexico. We fought to keep those offices open in Lordsburg and Silver City so that people could pay their bills there and actually delayed the closing. And I guess in a nutshell, the reason I'm running, when you look at New Mexico and our political climate and our politicians, there's really two very important offices in my book, New Mexico. One is the governor's office and one is the PRC. And I equate those because those are the two places where we can really affect good jobs for our citizens, where we can create jobs for New Mexicans, where we can clear the way for businesses to prosper. And also, we're the two places where we can take, we can help where we have a big effect on helping constituents with their everyday life, with phone bills, with previously with insurance and those kind of things. So that's why I'm running. I want to be there to help people, and I want to keep a place for New Mexico to have a place where our kids can stay home and have good jobs.
Thank you, Sandy Jones. Do I take it from that little pause that you've concluded?
Well, that's a good stopping point.
All right, thank you very much. Listeners will understand that on a telephone conference call, we don't see each other. Mary Lee Soles, may we have your opening statement?
Yes, Jamie, thank you. It's very good of you to do this. I'm sure that for a complex issue like who should be the next PRC commissioner representing District 5, that voters would like to have good information to make that decision. So the PRC regulates utilities, transportation, telecommunications. The fire marshal office is under it, as Mr. Jones said. It's very important to all of us. But in New Mexico, the PRC has not had a great history. It's been a combination of commissioners behaving badly, but it's also developed a reputation for being ineffective, that in this complex world, high-stakes world of utility regulation, that the PRC has become something of a rubber stamp, that decisions they made when they're challenged in court, they get overturned by the Supreme Court. So that basically, for such an important body, the citizens of New Mexico felt like it was not getting the job done. So in the period leading up through the first part of the 2010, all of this is developing. We, the voters of New Mexico, in 2012 voted overwhelmingly for three constitutional amendments to reform the PRC. And one of those amendments was to establish an increased level of qualification requirements for commissioners in education and professional experience. So that's where my background comes to play. I also grew up in New Mexico, here in Las Cruces. I graduated from Las Cruces High School. I came back 10 years ago. My daughter actually graduated from Las Cruces High School, and my family has been in this area since the mid-50s. But I did leave to seek my fortune, if you would. And that meant earning a degree in electrical engineering, earning a master's in business administration that I got from the Harvard Business School, and working in a division of General Motors, where for over 20 years, I served as an executive in various capacities. And those responsibilities are the things that are very much the kinds of things the PRC is responsible for. I served as chief engineer. I served as director of global pricing. I served as director of product programs. I managed large capital projects, and I evaluated competing projects to determine which was the best for the company's scarce money. These are skills that I think prepare me very well for serving New Mexico as a public regulation commissioner. But that's not enough. So what? For me, I see this changing energy environment that we're confronted with right now. I believe the next 10 years are going to be very significant to New Mexico's future. And we are sitting on amazing natural resources with the wind and the sun, These are resources that are just waiting for us to harvest and put to work. New Mexico should be a leader, in my opinion, in clean and renewable energy. There are too many lists that we fall way short of what other states are doing. This is an area we can excel. Put these resources to work together with the fine capabilities that are represented by our universities, by the national laboratories that are here in New Mexico. This is an energy future just waiting for us. I think the PRC has the brakes on, that in various ways they are going slower than we need to go. They're making sure that we aren't moving forward to be that leader that I see so clearly as part of New Mexico's future. And of course, renewable energy is one of the fastest growing job sectors in New Mexico, in the Southwest. So its potential to serve us economically as well in terms of our energy future, I think, is yet to determine where those limits are. So for me, I want to serve the citizens of New Mexico and the Public Regulation Commission, because I think it's important that that commission is something to be proud of, a place with a reputation for integrity, for professionalism, for competence, and really serving all of New Mexico. Go ahead. I'm done.
Thank you very much, Mary Lee Soles. Civil Discourse will return after a short break. Welcome back to Civil Discourse, a public affairs program of Gila Mimbres Community Radio. I'm Jamie Newton, and if you're just joining us, this edition of Civil Discourse is a discussion with Mary Lee Soles and Sandy R. Jones, the two Democratic Party candidates for Public Regulation Commissioner from District 5 in the June 3rd primary election. We've just heard opening statements, and now I'll ask questions, many of which were submitted to us by members of the public. The first question, however, is mine, to try to help you, the listeners, know just what it is we're talking about. This question asks, what exactly is the Public Regulation Commission? What does it do? What authority and what responsibilities do commissioners have? Sandy Jones, will you answer that first, please?
Sure. The Public Regulation Commission, the big thing that most people hear about, their charge and statutory requirement is to balance the interest between consumers and industry for the monopolies that are created in New Mexico. For instance, the electric companies, gas companies, telecoms, transportation companies like taxis, limos, ambulances, towing services, those non-consensual services. We have, as Mary Lee said, the State Fire Marshal's Office, which the jewel of which is the Fire Training Academy in Socorro, New Mexico. PRC is charged with the New Mexico's Pipeline Safety Division, the guys that make sure that these interstate transmission lines carry natural gas, petroleum products, CO2, those kind of high-pressure lines that run through our communities, we're charged for the safety of those things. BRC also handles railroad safety. The key to the commission is that it balances interest of those kind of things. In other words, it makes sure that utilities are financially sound and that they have that their businesses can operate safely and reliably. So when you turn the switch on, your light switch at the house, the electric comes off. But it also makes sure that consumers are protected and that they're charged a fair rate. So that's basically the short answer as to what the PRC does.
Thank you, Sandy Jones. And Mary Lee Soles, would you like to add to that question about what the Public Regulation Commission is, what it does, and the authority and responsibilities of commissioners?
I think Mr. Jones handled that just fine.
Well, thank you. The next question then is, what are the two or three most important issues or challenges that will face the new Public Regulation Commission and how would you approach them? Mary Lee Soles, will you answer that first?
I need to say right up front that since the PRC is a quasi-judicial body, that the second part of that, how would you approach them, I'm going to be very circumspect. If I were to state a position or too strongly how I would handle that, I would then have to recuse myself from sitting and hearing that particular case. So maybe that's the addition to what Mr. Jones said about what the PRC does.
I see. Well, we will just have confidence in you to set boundaries on what you say.
Okay, then. The big, big, long impact area is clearly the utilities in the energy field, though I would say also in the water field. Because we are at a point where things are changing rapidly, and that's the scientists with the conclusion of climate change, the EPA's regulations that are getting more stringent all the time about discharge and particulate and carbon dioxide. But then also the changing technologies that are available to us, the things that are making energy costs volatile or stable, that are making renewable energy so much more attractive to not just utility companies themselves, but to us as individuals. I have solar panels on my roof. These things are changing that environment daily. And therefore, the PRC is going to be right in the middle of decisions about what facilities need to be built, about what standards for a renewable energy portfolio are required past the 2020 point, how those requirements are going to be interpreted and applied. These decisions and the consequences stretch out over the next 40, 50 years of an impact to New Mexico, the citizens of New Mexico, the companies that do business here, and what we will be living with or what we will be finding we have to change going forward. So I think that is the territory that is most significant, affects everybody who lives in this beautiful state, and requires some maybe thoughtful, creative ways to approach those challenges.
Thank you. Sandy Jones, the two or three most important issues or challenges that will face the new Public Regulation Commission and what you can say about how you would approach them.
Yeah, I really like Mary Lee's answer about how we're going to mold the future of New Mexico and the energy environment. And I'm proud to say that I started the revolution there when we started our renewable portfolio standards. So I'm really proud of that. And that's work that will continue. You know, we've laid the roadmap out through 2020. Right now is when we need to start laying out the roadmap for 2035. But I also think it's very important when we look at renewables and how we bring these energy mixes in, that we cannot ever forget the cost to the consumer. You know, we could certainly bring 100% renewable into the mix right now today. There's enough technology out there to do it. Unfortunately, right now today, we can't do it at a cost that the consumer can bear. So we don't want to bring an energy mix on the back of our less fortunate consumers. We need to make it fair, and we need to make it affordable for them. So that's why we have to move on that, at the right speed. But the second thing that I think the big challenge that we have in New Mexico right now is jobs. We have to foster jobs in New Mexico. We have to have a place where our kids can work. We have to have businesses that can flourish and create the jobs that keep our kids home and create a competition for employees so that our wages go up along the way. The third thing I think is very important. We have the Telecommunications Act in front of us that's 30 years old. We're just now starting the work on reforming that Telecommunications Act, bringing all the new technologies in. 30 years ago when it was written, the biggest thing that we had, the biggest technology we had was the caller ID that was a couple of bucks a month you could get. Now, everything is done with smartphones, and our kids have learned to move away from plain old telephone service to smartphones. So those are the big challenges in front of us right now, and that would be my answer.
Thank you. Now, a question that was submitted by a member of the public. PNM has plans to retire two of the four coal-fueled plants at the San Juan Generating Station. What are your thoughts on the plan? And I would like to begin with you, Sandy Jones, since I asked Mary Lee Soles first on the last question.
Yeah, excellent. And that's one of those things that we have to be very careful about how we approach that answer. I'm assuming that won't get decided until I'm back at the commission. I'll have to rule on it. Certainly, there's a lot of litigation that'll be going on between now and then. And so I'm just going to say we can't say much about that just yet. I will have to wait and see how that comes, see how that fits into the energy portfolio for PNM. So we just have to reserve comment on that.
Thank you. And Mary Lee Soles, reserve comment also, or is there something you can say about the plan to retire two of four coal-fueled plants at the San Juan Generating Station?
This represents one of those very significant kinds of issues that will be in front of the PRC. And while it's not just related to what comes about in terms of the mix of energy sources, how PNM deals with shutting some capacity down and bringing other capacity up, but the financial impact of what the investments end up being, what they're for, how they translate into rates, and what are the bigger implications to the ratepayers, to PNM as an investor-owned utility, and to the future of New Mexico. This is exactly the kind of complex utility regulation, high stakes, that I think is why the voters of New Mexico thought it was so important for commissioners to have really solid background in areas in education that would help them with these decisions.
Thank you. And the questioner who sent in that question had a little following comment to the effect that in his or her judgment, the plan that we're referring to gives just token attention to alternative power production, that would be solar and wind, alternatives that don't contribute to global climate change. Can either of you speak to that, or is that out of limits for this? Sandy.
Yeah, I can speak to it. I think that the concern in the decommissioning has more to do with the cost of bringing those plants into current or proposed EPA requirements. So the cost of converting them to what people will call clean coal is the real crux of the reason for the decommissioning. And also let you know that, you know, PNM doesn't own those outright. They own a portion of them. So PNM owns a minority share of those plants. So that's just something that I think is worth mentioning. But it's the cost of bringing them into standard and how that would affect rates. Right now, the cost of natural gas is down. So I think the idea is to decommission there, move over to natural gas or combined cycle natural gas plants, and take advantage of the cheap natural gas prices. So I think that's really the motivation for PNM.
And Mary Lee Soles, does the plan give adequate attention to alternatives such as solar and wind power? If you can speak to that.
I'm not prepared to speak to that. I think that is going to be quite contentious before the final ruling and the approval of the direction, whatever it ends up being, that PNM will go.
Thank you. So we have a bit of additional factual information about ownership of the plant from Sandy Jones, and I think we understand that it's a little difficult to know just how much either of you could say about that, other aspects of it. So we'll move to another question. This one, bear with me, it's a little bit of a long question, but I'll read it. In a July 2013 study of the New Mexico Public Regulation Commission by the League of Women Voters of New Mexico, this conclusion, among others, came out. The PRC has a great deal of power over the companies it regulates. Some of this power is exercised at the employee level rather than by the commission. Consequently, there is an opportunity for both employees and commissioners to exercise this power in unethical ways. The League PRC Study Committee concluded that the most effective way of combating corruption would be to have an inspector general at the PRC, one of whose functions would be to investigate possible corruption on his or her own initiative or in response to internal and external complaints. That ends the quote from that study, and then the questioner wants to know, would you please tell us how you feel about this conclusion, including whether or not you support it? Can you speak to that, Mary Lee Soles?
Yes, I would. I think that is very much part of this poor reputation that the PRC has earned for itself. The PRC doesn't just mean the five PRC commissioners. It means the entire organization and the processes that it goes about to conduct its work. I think there would be significant advantage to having a separate office that had the role of assuring that the entire activity and operation was transparent, that it was ethical, that all interests were properly represented and balanced. I see absolutely nothing to lose and a lot to gain from taking stuff like that.
Thank you. And Sandy Jones, your opinion about the conclusion of the League of Women Voters study of the PRC, a recommendation for an inspector general?
Well, I'm not sure that creating another division of the PRC to inspect itself may be quite the answer. I'm not sure you have the shark guarding the barracuda, but I do think that there is no question in my mind that there has been some ethical boundaries crossed at the PRC. The whole nature of the beast is a commissioner. I thought there was some great things done in statute that limited contributions and access from regulated utilities to commissioners. But I don't think the statute went far enough and drilled down deep enough when we looked at the kinds of abuses that could possibly take place at the staffing level. I'm certainly not accusing staffers of violating that, but we knew when I was at the commission that there were some ethical boundaries being crossed, and quite frankly, I spearheaded the whole ethics evaluation at the PRC. To some folks is dislike, and to some like. Certainly, we spearheaded things that we asked questions that but they had some pretty serious answers come back to them. I always felt like if you didn't want to know the answer, don't ask the question, but that's why I spearheaded that ethics reform at the PRC, and there's more work to be done, and I'm prepared to take that head on when I get there. But again, I'm not sure creating a whole other division at the PRC is quite the answer. I think there may be alternatives.
Thank you. And we move on now to a question also from someone in the public about the role of finances in political campaigns, which has been very much in the public dialogue, partly because of judicial decisions that have classified political contributions as a form of speech protected by the First Amendment. This questioner asks, Who are the largest contributors to your campaign, individuals or groups, and what economic and/or political interests do they represent? How will their financial investment in your candidacy and any loyalty you may feel to these contributors influence your commitment to serve in the public interest? Could you answer that first, Sandy Jones?
In fact, the biggest contributor to my campaign is me and my wife. We're pretty much writing the ticket, the check for this entire campaign. My daughter's come to help me, not paying for fancy consultants. We are using some consulting, but we are taking contributions from different folks. But I am the largest contributor, so I think I'm beholden to nobody but myself. So. I'm pretty happy with that.
Thank you. And Mary Lee Souls.
Yes, thank you, Jamie. So my campaign is publicly financed. What that means is that the largest contribution I've accepted from anyone was $100 in the form of seed money. And that was limited to the number of those contributions I could accept. So the largest contributor is from New Mexico. I am not raising money. I am not asking people to support my campaign by contributing money. And I think this is hugely important for this position. Once I'm elected as a public regulation commissioner, I will not be responsible to any campaign donor for special consideration, for favors, or even just to be inclined to have a more open door for them. My campaign is publicly financed. There are no donations past those small seed money contributions early on.
Thank you very much. And listeners, we will return after a short break. If you're just joining us on Civil Discourse, my guests are Democratic Party candidates in the primary election, Sandy R. Jones and Mary Lee Souls, both seeking the office of Public Regulation Commissioner from District 5. And this question was submitted by a member of the public for you, Sandy Jones. You served before on the PRC, and when you were on the PRC, you consistently voted to limit consumer access to cost-saving solar energy and threw up roadblocks to energy efficiency proposals that would have resulted in a cleaner, less expensive electrical grid. According to a recent news report, former state senator Steve Fishman says he's consistently seen you, quote, putting oil and gas interests over consumer welfare, end of quote from Steve Fishman. And the questioner says, please summarize your current view of renewable energy. I will just remark that we've heard you summarize your view of renewable energy a couple of times, so repeat yourself or add to that if you like. And you are not, of course, under an obligation to accept the premises of the question, which you may disagree with. But go ahead, Sandy Jones.
Well, I obviously don't accept the premise. I don't know what Steve Fishman was thinking or what he was smoking when he makes those kind of statements, but I've seen that in news articles. I have a record that is second to no one on renewable energy standards. We developed the standards, we set the targets and the goals, and they are there today. Anyone who says that I threw up any kind of a roadblock in front of access to renewable energies is just flat wrong and uninformed. And in fact, we intervened on a number of instances where we had customers who were having trouble interconnecting where the utility a couple of times with PNM, where PNM was slowing up their ability to tie on to solar. And we intervened and worked with the customer so that PNM would accept their solar facility. And I recall one very big one was that the town of Berlin had a new solar plant that they were bringing on to service the city of Berlin. CNN fought with that for, about 3 months. We finally intervened, and I negotiated the deal with CNN to make sure that that was interconnected. So we have a solid track record of helping customers get interconnected with solars. And we, not only with CNN, but we have Hudson Electric and our rural electric co-ops. So anyone who says that is just flat wrong. We've always been a proponent of getting those interconnections done.
Thank you. And Mary Lee Souls, I'll invite you to respond if there's anything you have to say on this matter, although the question was specifically for Sandy Jones. But before I do that, I want to read a piece, a statement from a piece of your campaign literature that came to my home and see if you can add to that, explain that, give us sources for this statement, which I think may be related to the question that I've just read. The Public Regulation Commission, your literature said, has been an embarrassment for New Mexicans. At one time, 4 out of the 5 commissioners, including current candidate Sandy Jones, were facing criminal charges or engaged in other questionable behavior. Now Mr. Jones wants to return to the commission. As the recipient of that statement, I read it as something that sounded like a pretty serious charge, and so I invite you to elaborate and provide sources, and should you wish to, if it's relevant, also respond to that previous question.
Yes, of course. So that piece of campaign material clearly cites the source for that statement. It is Hausmannblogspot.com. Anyway, you have it, I imagine, if you received the literature.
Yes.
I have consistently stated in the course of my campaign that I am running because I understand the voters of New Mexico to be looking for a different kind of commissioner, one with education, one with experience appropriate for the commission, and that in the course of leading up to when we voted for those constitutional amendments, this of looking at 4 out of the 5 commissioners engaged in criminal charges or questionable behavior was part of what led to that conclusion. I found that referenced in the Think New Mexico literature. I found it referenced in the League of Women Voters literature. And Mr. Jones was one in questionable behavior. It was related to his assistant who had twice, many years apart, been convicted of a felony for embezzlement. And I believe that she was actually on leave for a period of time while it was investigated as to whether or not that was acceptable, permissible, and could be allowed to go forward. Mr. Jones defended her. I don't believe there were any charges that came out of that. But the questionable behavior category did not reflect well on the PRC, and I believe led fairly directly to the conclusion that we needed commissioners who were of a different sort. For whatever reason, Mr. Jones did not run for re-election. He was certainly in a position where he could have sought a second term. He sought the position of land commissioner, even though that was not one of the 2 positions that he says are the most important for the state of New Mexico.
And Sandy Jones, would you like to respond to the statement I read and to what you've just heard?
Yeah, I guess what I walk away with is that there was some kind of implication that there was some kind of criminal charges or I was being investigated for something criminal at the PRC. It's really kind of interesting. There was a question raised about my assistant. And interestingly enough, it was my action asking the Attorney General to immediately take a look at that and see if there was problems, because we wanted to be transparent. We wanted to make sure that we were serving taxpayers the way we were supposed to. So it was actually me that brought that question up. The AG looked at us. It was fine. But we talk about 4 out of the 5 commissioners that Mary brings up. I just find it really curious that in all of this, we never mentioned Shirley Baca. I'm out on the campaign trail, and I'm seeing Shirley constantly campaigning for Mary Souls. We all know Shirley's background. And so I think when we want to talk about those backgrounds and when we want to bring that stuff up, that we are who we hang around. I think maybe Mary ought to distance herself from Shirley if we're concerned about commission behavior. I served honorably at the commission. I served with Ben Ray Lujan. I served with Jason Marks. We did very, very good things for New Mexico. There were never questions about my integrity. There were never questions about me selling out to anyone. We represented the state well. We made sure the companies were healthy. We made sure the consumers were protected, and we ensured that there was fair and reasonable rates in this state. I stand solidly behind my record. I make no excuse for it.
And Mary Lee Souls, before I go to the next question, can you speak to the matter of Shirley Baca that was just raised?
I'm not sure what he's suggesting about Shirley Baca. There's a number of people that are helping me with my campaign, some that I know directly and personally and some that I don't. She's not being paid. She's not an employee of mine. She is quite active politically in the Doniana area.
Let me move on to a question that also came from the public, and this one, Mary Lee Souls, is about your background at General Motors. Questioner notes you were an executive at General Motors for 20 years and goes on, the documentary Who Killed the Electric Car notes that during the time you were there, General Motors experimented and then dismantled the EV1 project. The documentary makers surmised that GM colluded with Big Gas. Given your years in the gasoline-based automotive industry, please summarize your current view of renewable energy.
Wow. So General Motors is a huge company. I've always claimed that I worked for a division of General Motors. That was the Packard Electric Division, which did wiring as its main activity. We had nothing to do with the electric vehicle.
And just a follow-up, your campaign literature cites your experience with GM as an asset for service on the PRC. And can you explain how it is an asset?
In the course of that 30-year career, I did many of the things that the PRC needs to be deeply involved in. One of the main functions of the PRC is rate making. Rate making is essentially the same as pricing. It involves a process of determining what the costs are. It involves a process of determining how those costs will be recovered through prices to customers. I've managed large capital projects. I know, for example, the kinds of things that PNM is facing when it's looking at the various alternatives available to it, if it's going to be replacing the capacity represented by the two coal-fired plants at the San Juan Generating Station. This is not new to me. This is where I have lived and worked. I understand how you make trade-offs. I understand implications in the short term and in the long term. And this is very important in terms of assuring that there is balance in the work of the Public Regulation Commission, whose responsibility is to find that position that serves the customers, that serves the utilities, and that also serves the public in its more general constitution. I think that experience is right down that line. It's even augmented, I would claim, because it's not specifically a background in, say, PNM itself. I'm not coming from some place where I'm already stuck in the way we've always done it.
And Sandy Jones, this is where I'd like to bring in a piece of campaign literature from your campaign that arrived at my home. On one side is information about you and your positions. On the other, what I think can only be described as a really very unflattering picture of Mary Lee Soles, against a background of union workers and a factory chimney belching smoke. And the text says, "She abandoned the American worker. PRC candidate Mary Lee Soles spent years managing a GM plant in Mexico. Why? No EPA, no OSHA, no minimum wage." Please tell us the implications, as you see them, of Mary Lee Soles having been associated with General Motors during her professional career, the implications for her candidacy for the PRC.
I think that's probably a question for her, but I don't think General Motors and Delphi went to Juarez, Mexico, or Matamoros, Mexico, for any reason other than to get out of paying minimum wage to our U.S. workers. I don't think they wanted to put up with EPA regulations. I don't think they cared about the environment. And, you know, I'm for keeping our U.S. workers working, and I'm for keeping democratic values of protecting workers and making sure they're safe and producing our products right here at home. So, you know, all I can say is that with the titles that Mary Lee has listed in her literature, quality manager, general engineer, Delphi purchasing director, global pricing director, product line manager, chief engineer, Mary Lee was not a middle management person. She holds herself off as a very important part of General Motors. You know, I was the CEO of a very small corporation. I was the product line manager. I was the pay clerk. I did all of that. I made those decisions, and I stand beside them, and I had a great company and great employees, and we treated them right. And we never shipped a job to Mexico. We never skirted EPA regulations. We kept with democratic values. That's why that matter went out, and I think those are the kind of things that the voter needs to know.
And Mary Lee Soles, can you respond to that campaign piece and to what you've just heard?
Yes, thank you, Jamie. The piece is simply not true. I did not spend years managing a GM plant in Mexico. So my perspective is this represents a clear lack of attention to detail on the part of Mr. Jones and his team. My detailed resume has been available on my website, and a reading of that, you will find I never managed a GM plant in Mexico. And so that kind of misunderstanding about how the larger world works, I think, is troubling.
Civil Discourse will take a short break, and when we return, having now talked about points of contrast between these two candidates for the District 5 position on the Public Regulation Commission, we will turn our attention to commonalities, points of agreement, and hear closing statements. Stay with us. Welcome back to Civil Discourse. We are talking to Mary Lee Soles and Sandy R. Jones, Democratic Party candidates for their party's nomination for the Public Regulation Commissioner from District 5 in the primary election. The question now is, what commonalities or points of agreement do you see between yourself and your opponent in the June 3rd primary election? One of you will face Republican incumbent Ben Hall in the general election in November. If you are not selected in the primary as the Democratic candidate, will you support your Democratic opponent in the primary election against Ben Hall in the November general election? Sandy Jones, may I begin with you, please?
I'm a Democrat, always been a Democrat, and I stand by Democrats.
And Mary Lee Soles?
Ditto. I actually chose blue as the basis of my campaign materials because I have always thought of myself as a true blue Democrat. I think this is a critical point for Democrats this election cycle. We have some amazing candidates on the ballot, and we need to get them elected and see that Democrats are running the state of New Mexico.
Thank you both. And now I will ask you to give a 3-minute closing statement, and we'll go in the opposite order from that of the opening statements. Mary Lee Soles, what are your closing remarks?
Well, thank you again, Jamie, for providing this service to everyone who takes the time to listen to this. I think our democratic process is best served when voters have real information when they go to the polls to select their candidates. So I am running because I believe the citizens of New Mexico said they wanted a different kind of public regulation commission. And this is the first election cycle since those significant constitutional amendments to reform the PRC. So I'm offering to bring my background as an executive with a large division of General Motors over a period of many years, my electrical engineering degree, and my master's in business administration. It's time to put that to work to serve the state of New Mexico and the citizens of New Mexico in this critical time. There will be significant decisions being made over the next many years that are related to our future of how we're going to use our renewable energy resources, what we're going to do to protect and serve all of the people of New Mexico who rely on those for their communities to function, to be safe, and to be affordable. So I'm bringing that background. I'm using public financing. I believe my candidacy offers voters a clear choice between the PRC of the past and a new future. I'd like to bring integrity, professionalism, and competence to the Public Regulation Commission to serve all of New Mexico. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lee Soles. And Sandy Jones, your closing statement, please.
Thanks. Once again, it's just such an honor to have the opportunity to speak to the folks in Grant County and Silver City and across New Mexico. But I think the key thing is New Mexicans know me. They know that I have the experience at the PRC. They know that they could call me at any time and I would come help. I was always there. I ran a business in the state of New Mexico. I'm a New Mexican through and through. I've never left New Mexico. I've stayed in New Mexico. I've invested everything that my family has right here in the state of New Mexico. And I've worked in every community in this state so people know what to expect when they get me. I have the experience. I served on the commission in tough times. We made landmark decisions that are taking us well into the future. I'm prepared to take that experience and take us right on into the future again. I want New Mexico to be a better place. I want New Mexico to have jobs for our kids. I want our kids to be able to be educated here and know that they have a good place to stay the rest of their lives, so they don't have to leave the state like Mary Lee had to. And finally, I've been endorsed by labor, the firefighters, building trades, the carpenters, the plumbers, been endorsed by business, Association of Commerce and Industry. I have a wide range of endorsements because people know that I'm fair, they know that I'm balanced, they know that I'm concerned about the worker, they know I'm concerned about business, and they know that I will be fair and equitable. And I can bring a consensus of business and labor and utilities and consumers. I can bring that consensus so that we have a New Mexico that's a better place for our kids. And that's why folks should reconsider me and reelect me to the Public Regulation Commission. Again, good luck to everyone out there, and we hope that everybody comes out and votes, because if you don't vote, your voice cannot be heard. So thanks again for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Sandy R. Jones and Mary Lee Soles, both candidates for the nomination of the Democratic Party for District 5 seat on the New Mexico Public Regulation Commission. I'm sure our listeners join me in thanking you, and I'll remind our listeners that you can do early voting now at the Grant County Administration Center, the office of the county clerk, and on the election day itself at voting convenience centers in Silver City and nearby, and at selected precinct polling stations that remain open on Election Day in the outlying areas. And thank you, listeners, for being with us on Civil Discourse. This is a locally produced public affairs program of Gila Mimbres Community Radio. I think you'll agree, if you've just been listening to this program, that you've been introduced not only to positions and backgrounds, but also to the personalities, the characters of these two candidates for public office. And I think we all need to remember in a democracy that it is really a statement of commitment for people to seek opportunities for public service, not an easy path to choose. Thank you for listening to Community Radio, Gila Mimbres Community Radio. You can help us keep our programs on the air by going to the website, www.gmcr.org. You'll see easy ways to become a member, and you then are the people to whom this community radio station answers, is responsible, and relies on for support. I'm your host, Jamie Newton.